Hey everybody, Alex Newman here. We're at the Moment of Truth Summit hosted by Mike Lindell, and we're here with JoRae Perkins. She's the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Oregon. JoRae, thank you very much for being with us. So you got your Republican nomination. You're taking on a very, very powerful Democrat, Ron Wyden. Tell us about why you jumped in the race and what you hope to accomplish.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. It's an honor to be here, and what a great event this is. Well, I first ran for the race in 2014. I had to stop and think. It's been a while. This is a mission, a journey that God has called me to do, and that's why I'm in the race. That is the politically incorrect answer, but it's the truthful answer. So I've stuck it out. I've run for the U.S. Senate nomination in 2014, was not successful. Ran for Congressional District 4 twice, which is currently held by DeFazio. And he's retiring this year, so my good friend Alex Carlatos is most likely going to be our new representative.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And then I ran for the nomination in 2020, and I won that nomination, won all 36 counties, and went up against Jeff Merkley.
Okay.
And received more votes than any other Republican nominee in Oregon history during COVID, when we couldn't even get out and campaign because Oregon was shut down through that whole thing. And because they claimed I didn't have enough votes to win, I turned right around and went, well, apparently they want to keep Merkley and get rid of Wyden, so I'll take him out and filed again. And I was successful again against six candidates that time.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're a constitutionalist. You're hoping to restore respect for the Constitution. Give us some of the key issues that you're fighting on. And you know, what do the people of Oregon think about it? I know Portland's kind of its own little world, but what do regular people in Oregon think?
They are really disgusted and frustrated with the direction of our state and the heavy hand of the government. And so that's what I want to bring back, is start to do what I can to loosen that grip hold that the federal government has in so many areas of our lives. And in Oregon, the amount of land that they're controlling, that they claim ownership to, is ridiculous. Around 53% is quote-unquote owned or managed by the federal government. A lot of that is timber. We have these massive forest fires every year. Well, the Forest Department is not doing their job to keep the underbrush down. They've allowed the forest roads to get overgrown. And then when there's fires, they can't get the equipment up there. So we end up with these catastrophic fires. 2 years ago, almost the entire state was on fire. It was really bad. I've never seen anything like that before. So these are the areas that people are very frustrated about in Oregon, especially when we're looking at the timber communities. And then in Eastern Oregon, Central and Eastern Oregon, we've got a lot of federal rangelands. And the Bureau of Land Management is trying to tell them what they can and cannot do. They can't run their cattle because it could hurt the sage grouse. And then we're dealing with the environmentalists and trying to get all the species on the endangered species protection. And so then the ranchers can't raise their cattle, they can't run their cattle. And the BLM is telling me they can't have use the leases, the property leases that they have for their cattle to be out on the range. So these are the kinds of things that I want to bring to Oregon. All of our natural resources are so vast, we've got to get the federal government out of the way so that people in the natural resources industry, which also includes our fisheries and our mining, can make money and grow and prosper.
And so how would that work then? Is privatized, sell off, transfer to the state? What would happen?
I would like to see it go back at the highest level back to the counties. So this all happened after the Depression. During the Depression, people couldn't pay their property taxes, so they gave their property to the counties. The counties go, well, we don't want to manage it, so they gave it to the state. Somewhere in the mid-70s, the FLIPMA Act of 1970, I can't remember if it was 3, 4, or 5, right in there, ceded that property unconstitutionally to the federal government. Now, property taxes have never been paid. What should have happened back after the Depression, the county should have just forgiven all those property taxes because the taxes never got paid anyway when the county ends up and then the state ends up. So I want to see it get back down to the county level, and I think a lot of that property should be sold off, or let's hope to open up the Homesteading Act again. There's some people in Oregon that, oh my God, it's going to become a concrete jungle. No, it's not. It will not become a concrete jungle. There's so much land out there that could work. It will take years to get us there, but we need to You know, a long journey starts with the first step. You've got to take that first step.
Yeah. And so Oregon obviously is a very Democrat-leaning state. What's your plan? I know this election, everybody's saying it's going to be a red wave. And what's your plan to overcome that difficulty?
Well, only part of Oregon is a Democrat state. And if I told you my exact plan, see, I can't tell you exactly what we're going to do. Can't reveal.
Makes sense. You don't want to tell the enemy, right?
That's it. That's it. I like to say that the 49ers don't give the Seahawks their playbook.
All right.
Right? But people need to vote. We're here at the Truth Summit. We've been talking about this for coming up on 2 years now. Well, let's go back to 2016. Let's take a look at what were the Democrats saying after the election of 2016. Ron Wyden is on record multiple times complaining about the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there was a problem with the machines in 2016, why was there not then a problem with the machines in 2020? Oh, that's right, because they won. So suddenly there is no problem. We need to fix the problem. In the meantime, the voters need to do a couple of things. Number one, must vote. I believe the tactic of those that want to destroy our country is to get us so disenfranchised that we won't vote. Then they don't have to cheat.
Yeah, right.
Right? You don't have to cheat. You're not voting. We win. Except for the problem is that when a person doesn't vote, they essentially just give two votes to who they really don't want to see win at all. So their non-vote now counts twice. Roughly twice. It's not an exact science, but it's pretty darn close. So it's really important. Keep the heat on. As long as we keep talking about this and going, look, there's an anomaly here, there's an anomaly there. And we keep the focus on this, I believe that they're going to back off this year. It's just a gut feeling I have that they're going to go, oh, shoot, they're onto us. Let's just let them have some wins. Then come 2024, they will have lulled themselves back to sleep again and then will steal the presidential election. And I really believe that that is a tactic that they're going to try, except for we're not going to go back to sleep because we're not going to let that happen. That gives us more time to finish fixing.
Amen. And Joe Ray Perkins, how do we find you on the internet? How can people support your campaign?
My website is super easy to find, Perkins.vote.
Perkins.vote.
Yes. Very simple. So I asked for a few things. Number one, two, and three, prayers. I travel the state alone over 90% of the time. So prayers are essential because I put long hours behind the wheel. If people can donate, we need donations. Maximum I can get from any one person is $2,900. So we're actually limited. So whatever people can donate, I'm grateful for every penny. I don't have a huge budget. Ron Wyden is sitting on over $8 million.
Whoa.
We're not. We're sitting on about 9,000 right now. Money's coming in. And I know people are going, there's just no way you can win. Well, in the primary, the guy that came in second had over 200 and some odd thousand dollars.
Wow.
And I still won.
Wow.
So I serve a miracle working God. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm doing. So again, if people feel led, I'm grateful for everything that comes in, Perkins.vote. They can volunteer no matter where they live in the country. They can volunteer. A lot of stuff we do electronically anymore. Social media, sending letters to newspapers, calling up talk show hosts, making phone calls on behalf of the campaign, reposting social media, all those kinds of things. And of course, if you live in Oregon, vote. And if you don't live in Oregon, tell the people that you know that live in Oregon to please vote and get out and help us out. And the other thing is people need to get active if they can in their local community. Local action, national impact.
Very good. Well, Joe Ray Perkins, thank you very much for spending time with us. Thanks for being involved, and hopefully we'll catch you soon once you're a U.S. Senator.
Thank you. Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. Have
very
a great
good.
Day.
Thanks.